Blog Talk Radio.
We had some interesting issues with our Blog Talk Radio earlier this week. I will not go into details, but we're on, nevertheless. And this is Ralph Point of What's Happening, and this is, tonight is March the 14th, and it's a Tuesday, 2023. And we're asking a question that we better get an answer to quick. What in the world are black people going to do about those traitors in the government? That's one way of saying it. Mr. Pointer has another way of saying it. But without further ado, because so much is happening, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Ralph.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Again, we have so much to talk about in so little time. And I'm going to follow the suggestion that was made to me that don't come on like El Tigre. That's the most powerful of cats that roams the forests and jungles of South America that will eat anything on land or in the water that it sees. And so I'm going to make nice. I'm not going to talk about the slave trade. I'm not going to talk about slavery. I'm not going to complain about Jim Crow laws. I'm not going to talk about Ron DeSantis and the rest of America that took blacks out of history. And I'm not even going to talk about we good folk who put black history or the African history into our culture by reading bedtime stories like Minty, and you can see by the name Minty, that makes Harriet Tubman's life nice. Talk about how they ripped children away from their mothers. We're not going to talk about the young women who, upon puberty, were raped and produced more slaves. We're just going to talk about what we can do now with the people who we elected do not represent us, and it is not a new story. We have Democrats and Republicans who do not represent us, and we elect them year after year, and we've been talking about it on our program as political slavery. That is doing a political act without remuneration. That's slavery. We talk about nonsense reparations, and without studying the history of America and reparations. They stole, this imperial government stole from a lot of countries. Right here in the Western Hemisphere, Nicaragua, Guatemala, etc. And they promised reparations. They never got it. They made treaties with the Indians, American Indians. I forget what it is, 50 treaties, and never kept one of them. And finally, when Western tribe was about to die out, President Obama paid there something like 3 cents on a dollar of their claim, because they went for it because there would be no more people left who were eligible to get anything. And so what we're going to talk about is what are we going to do about the people who we vote for who don't do anything for us. We're talking reparations. If you want to talk about reparations, my main reparation is free political prisoners, just to show faith, just to show good faith that you're going to deal with this. But I fear that there is no intention of this government, who is stealing from us every day in every way. Books have been written about it. I don't know what people put on their reading list, but I know of 3 books that were written about the black tax. Now, the one that we're all familiar with is you drive a car down the road, who gets ticketed? I remember stopping on Atlantic Avenue, coming home one afternoon, and I saw a police car across the street, and they had stopped a woman driving, and I was shocked. And so I stopped the car, and I hollered out the window, "What are you guys doing? Arresting or stopping, ticketing a white woman?" Well, there were 2 cops, a black cop and a white cop. And Betty says, "You're going to be arrested." And I says, "No, I'm just telling the truth." And the black cop turned around and looked at me and smiled and turned the other way. And so I says, the truth is so real. We look at the truth in housing. If you own a house, you're going to pay more in taxes. If you go to the bank, you're going to pay more with a loan. Subprime loans, criminal document they stuck us with. If you own land, you're going to not be able to access money from the federal government that is allocated for farmers. If you're a black farmer, you're going to lose the land because you don't get the money. And so on and so on. And I remember a white Southern governor says, "Stop talking about that, because we all know that without this black tax, our government cannot operate." And we're not talking about the prison labor, the slave labor in the death camps of America. But we're just saying, what can we do about those that we elect? And be clear, We elect who they select. And so it's all over before it gets to us. It makes us think we're in charge of democracy. But freedom ain't free. And the most important thing we have to understand is the work that goes into it. If we want a representative, we don't need a new party. We have a great example of Charles Barron, who's a Democrat. And every year the Democratic Party tries to beat him because he's working for his community. We don't need more examples. We need to do the work to get people interested in politics who are interested in improving the community. And so what we do, we need to select people with a track record of working for the community. And so with that said, we have to get to what's important today, and what's happening today is the failure of the Silicon Valley Bank, the Signature Bank. And what does that mean to you and I? And I've heard people say, well, I don't have $250,000 in the bank, so I don't have to worry. And I say, my friends, do you work? Are you a member of the Transit Authority in New York? Are you a member of DC 37? Are you a member of the Teachers Union? Well, they invested money in banks. That's what it means to you. And if the banks go under, your plan, for example, right here in New York, before the banks went under, they're selling out the health plan that you paid for. We worked in the system and paid for it, and they're going to sell it out to a company that's historically, constantly in the news for corruption. That's where your health plan goes. And that was before the banks were failing. And one more time, we hear those who scream, we don't want communism or socialism. What they really mean is they want socialism for the big banks, for the big money. And they want capitalism for us, you and I. If we fail, that's just you, Jack. You failed. If you lose your house, that's just you. And one day we're going to have to get into the program of the 2018 bank failure. All they had to do was guarantee the housing loans to people who were losing their homes. And people would have worked like the devil to keep their homes. And all they had, the government take back some from some money, delay payment, and there wouldn't have been a collapse. But what did they do? They funded the banks. What did the banks do? The CEOs kept the money for themselves, gave themselves big bonuses, and the people who worked for the banks didn't get the bonuses at the end of the year. They got fired, sold out, go home. And the CEOs took the bonuses for themselves, and we're right back in the same place. The Glass-Steagall Act that stopped banks from being in banking and investment, that's all gone. We see the rollback of the Dodd-Franks. What's that mean? Well, they said you couldn't do that. You couldn't take risky bets with other people's money, the investors' money. But Brother Trump, as president, canceled. And so whatever we get, whatever we force the government to do, they have some folks that just take it back, and we don't notice it. And where are we today? My brothers and sisters, we're in trouble. But we have to do what everybody does, and that's organize. We have to make people understand the issues, and that's what we're trying to do on the program. And the anger that I have will be soothed by you, the listener, when you give me or give us or share with us the answers to these questions. Sister Betty.
All right. First of all, I want to explain to anybody who's new, we deal with political prisoners, liberation theology, liberation poetry. We deal with capitalism. We deal with colonialism. And what you just heard from our brother Ralph Pointer in terms of what's happening is what's happening in terms of our colony. If you cannot control your own resources, if they are controlled by a ruling class, then you are a colony. If the banks can get bailed out and you cannot, you're in a colony. If you're homeless and they claim they're going to get $5 million to New York City to get affordable housing, you're in a colony, especially when it's not in the neighborhood where most of the homeless are. That's a colony. If they took your pension health care plan after you pay for it, you're in a colony, especially if you're a worker. So that's why he gave that update. And after we hear all that bitter news, we need something to help calm us down, to help us know that we indeed are human. And that's why we have liberation poetry and Professor Louis. And right after that, we're going to get on a report that also makes us feel good. It makes us feel good to know that somebody is resisting and saying no. And we've got somebody who's going to give us a report on that right after Professor Louis. But right now, Professor Louis, we're calling on you. Your mic is open. Thank you for returning one more time.
This is a tone poem from way back home. It's a loan from me to you, consecrated, dedicated to the guy who sells knishes on the beach, within reach of everyone out there in the sun. Check your mind each time he passes by. You got no choice. You hear his voice cry. Knishes, ice cold soda here. Cold soda here, hottest day of the year, sun burning down, skin cancer bound, you're frying, just lying around, and this guy is going to try to carry this humongous cooler ice soda. Don't let it fool you, it's heavy as hell, and there's no ice cream truck bell, he got to tell you again and again. Knishes, ice cold soda here. Cold soda here, never fear, your wishes come true. A whole lot of delicious knishes for you, even if they're not really hot. It's food, dude, brought with a song, wicked and strong. He's not no ding-a-dong, he's kicking the gong. Knishes, ice cold soda here. Cold soda here, the year 2022. What's it mean to you? A man got to drag a bag of hot knishes, a two-ton cooler. It's not much fun, kind of peculiar. This is his fate, early and late on this great beach of recreation, inebriation, and exploitation. The congregation of untold thousands of souls, young and old, at Coney Island. This land is my land. This land is your land. But this guy got jammed, got to haul his butt, about to bust a gut, feet digging a rut. The pain of the strap on his shoulder. Where's the game? Getting older by the minute. What you think's in it? How many knishes does it take to make the minimum wage? How many sodas has he got to deal to buy himself a meal? Kind of beat, feel the heat through his feet on the burning sand. Just a man doing what he can to live, to have something to give. And it don't take long. He gives back the song. Knishes, ice cold soda here. Cold soda here, it's clear and pure, the sure sound going down of someone doing his job. It's no sob story, better go and make a video from his song. It's right, not wrong, you could see, you could forget Cardi B and film this guy. Let his song fly through the world, a pearl, true blue, cut through this life with a knife and give us a slice of the real McCoy, my boy on the beach with something to teach. One of millions under many hot suns across this earth. The worth of every little thing, every hour, every minute. The worth comes from the work we put in it. No limit. Days and days to praise those who give so much and touch so little in return. The home fires will burn. Zion's train will turn around. you will lay your knishes down, even if it's only that 1 minute when you're not lonely, when the sun runs down the sky, passing by the cool breeze of night under the street light with your girl, all through this world, your moment in time, a clear mind, a warm heart, a decent part of it all, and find better to be kind. Forget your riches. Give me the guy with the knishes. A couple of jokes. Everyday folks gotta carry the weight tomorrow. Struggling not to carry it with sorrow. Reaching for our place in the sun where Sam Cooke says a change is gonna come for each and every one. Respect come round from reaching down to give out with the sound that makes the world go round. Knishes! Ice cold soda here, cold soda here, never fear our fate to carry the weight, but still get over Rover, got no other way to go. He slow fades and fades away, down the beach, out of reach, but day to day, today, it's in your mind to stay. Knishes, ice cold soda here.
Thank you, Professor Louis, and many or most of us can identify with that. We have our own conditions, our own cold sodas to deal with through the days, hot days, cold days, and I won't give you some of the things that I've done down on the waterfront in New York with trucks that had no heater in, waiting to unload. And not realizing that that was happy times because the peers are gone. The jobs are gone. But anyway, thank you, Professor Louis, teaching us what the working class is all about. Sister Betty.
For those of you who don't know, Google knishes. It's, from my point of view, it's fried potatoes. But it's delicious if it's done right. I want to now open up the mic for all of our political prisoner comrades who are on the front lines toiling and working to bring them home, toiling and working to make sure no more new ones go inside the death camps. But before that, it is our honor, our privilege, our joy to announce that comrade sister Julia Wright, yes, the daughter
of
Richard
Wright,
the author, the communist author, will be on our program this evening. And hopefully, if the gods of technology are good to us, you'll be able to hear her shortly, and she may be able to return. If everybody treat her right, so that she'll want to come back to the fellowship of the people who fight for freedom. So without further ado, thank you, Professor Louis. Believe it or not, the card is in the mail, just a little bit behind with my paperwork. All right, we're going to open up the mics of our comrades who are going to give us some updates. We're going to start with our comrade who reported to us last week on Cop City, and then whoever wants to jump in after that. I assume Ann Lamb has a lot of news, and not all of it is good. I think one of our warriors for Kamau, his daughter, had a horrific fire recently. So we're going to start with our sister, our comrade Antonella of, I believe, Boston Jericho, to give us an update. She was kind enough to get on last week, and we are humbled by the fact that she had time to return this week. All right, everybody, yeah. Your mic is open. Please mute yourself if you hear background noise. It's probably you, if you're not speaking to you.
Antonella, what is happening in Cop City?
Absolutely. Cop City is to be stopped. Luckily, in Atlanta, there's a wide diversity of tactics. So there's a whole range of people stopping Cop City. There's no one head. You know, it's a hydra, which is beautiful. And I think, as Belkis, the mother of Tortuguita, said, Cop City is dead. Tortuguita is alive. For those that you don't know, is the martyr of the movement, which I will talk about later. But first, I want to give a little update of our people that are in the DeKalb County Jail. And that is, of course, y'all know that prison is literally legal slavery. The conditions are awful. They're still having lead in water, dirty water, but not getting letters. One interesting update was from one of our comrades is that one person in their block turned their pants into shorts, their own pants into shorts, and as collective punishment, the prison decided to deny all outside time, deny phone time, deny their lunch, and also deny meetings with their lawyers. Spirit of Mandela wrote a really good report about, you know, we charge genocide and collective punishment, and all of these things are also constituted under that. And the next bond hearing will be the 23rd. So please put all the positive energy out there that our comrades will get bond. The case is very strong, and also they're charging them with, which is domestic terrorism. It's completely bogus, completely baseless, based on that people had mud on their boots when it is literally a forest. You know, you cannot get away from the mud. So it is really a PR campaign that we're up against, but I'm confident that we will win, and I can take questions on that, but I will move on to updates on Tortuguita. Recently it came out from a independent autopsy that the family conducted that when Tortuguita was assassinated by the Atlanta sorry.
Please continue. I'll mute the background noise.
Okay.
Please continue.
No worries. When Tortuguita was assassinated by the Atlanta PD, I believe it was 12 shots that went through this comrade's body. They were seated in a meditative position, like with their legs crossed in meditation, and their hands were up, their arms were up, and this all came out, and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation has been doing all they can to, you know, not give information to the family, but this just came out from the independent autopsy, and you know, a lot of us are not surprised, because we know how these police are totally acting with impunity. And I do have a poem that is please to share, but I could also take any clarifying questions that I'm able to answer now, Betty, if there's anything.
That because we know of the police army of occupation, and let's get it right. Their job is to terrorize. They kill as a terrorist act to terrorize the people, and they are not punished for it. The family will get money, but the worst thing that will happen to these folks, this army of occupation, is they may transfer to another district, another state that says we want this kind of army of occupation action. Those who shoot to kill, those who kill, and those who terrorize, because that is their job, and we have to learn to deal with that. But do you have anything else you would like to say?
I believe you said you wanted to recite a poem. Please do. Poetry does soothe us here, and we've got a lot of pain right now. But when
Thank
you do, you clearer into the microphone. Please recite your
Absolutely.
Poem.
Yes, and you're completely correct. Okay, here is the poem that is on Tortuguita's altar. May you be surrounded by wild forests. May you have the space to grieve. May you find your rage. May you incite the joy of abolition. May you have the capacity to dream of different worlds. May you know love, camaraderie, and friendship. May you be inspired by those of whom that are younger than you. May you be blessed with days that are more and more free. May you breathe clean air and drink fresh water. May you have the courage to demand what you love, to defend what you love. May you channel the fearlessness of Tortuguita. May you act with the swiftness of a deer. May you fight with the ferocity of a wolf. May Tortuguita be a flame that warns down every prison and precinct. May their memory be a blessing that frees them all. Thank you. Stop copying.
Thank you. May you have the courage to fight for your desires, your demands for freedom. Ah, my goodness, my young. Yes, yes, yes. That's what we need. Read that poem many often, far and flung places, because we need that poetry. We need those demands. Thank you again. The struggle continues. Sister Betty.
7785, Sister Ann. And Comrade Kazi, your mics are open. Whoever wants to go first, it's up to you.
Ladies first.
Ladies first, okay.
Yeah.
Actually, we don't say that anymore.
Oh,
go ahead.
I'm so old, man. Shit. Comrade,
ladies
go first, please.
I did not want Lady First. Okay, very good report from Antonella there. Don't forget the next court date is March 23rd. Would behoove people who can to go down there and pack that courtroom. And those of us who can't, there are phone numbers to call and so on and so forth. So we can keep busy and out of trouble by doing those things. Okay, reporting on Kasese, as people may or may not know, Kamau Siddiqui's daughter, one of Kamau Siddiqui's two daughters, is Kasese. And there was a devastating fire in the building where she lives last Thursday night, which I believe was March 9th. She had to escape the fire with only what she had in her possession, and she needs our help. It is unclear the extent of the damage to her apartment, but the building itself sustained extensive damage and is uninhabitable for the foreseeable future. If you can, please make a donation to this. This happens to be the GoFundMe that her coworkers put together to help her with immediate needs like clothes and food and longer term like temporary housing. So I am currently posting this right on jerichoandy.org so people can go there and hit the GoFundMe link, send some funds to Kasese. I do know that the New York City chapter of Malcolm X Grassroots Movement has already mobilized to provide her with some of the things she was asking for, you know, shoes, sweaters, you know, various things that, you know, we all need to have. So they've already done that, which is pretty amazing. And we are very grateful to MXGM for doing that. But she's still going to need some ongoing assistance. We don't know how long it's going to be, if she'll be able to move back into that apartment or not. It seems like it might be not. So it would behoove people to please go to that GoFundMe and donate some money to Kasese. As we say, no donation is too small. And, of course, no donation is too large. So that will be up in about 5 minutes at jerichoandy.org. So that is some very upsetting and sad news, and that has just happened last week. And then, in addition to that, I'll have another report. Well, my comrade Eric King, as people may remember, Eric King had been going through some extremely difficult times while in prison. Well, he's still going through extremely difficult times trying to get out of there. Okay, so he had a projected release date of February 2023. It is now March, right? Okay, so the probation people filed, and we quote and we unquote, quote, "We view the proposed release plan as unacceptable due to length of time remaining on the current lease agreement." That is the quote and the unquote. "This is not a requirement listed for federal probation, and they did not ask his family to re-sign an extended lease, despite documentation proving the landlord would renew the lease, as has been done for years prior." This is so Eric can go and be with his wife and his daughters, okay? U.S. probation also misrepresented the arrest record of his wife on a public document with an alleged FBI background check. It seems to Eric's family that the home inspection was merely ceremonial and rejection imminent. So Eric has now been advised that if he claims to be homeless, he could be free in a halfway house within weeks. outside of Colorado, of course. They don't want him in Colorado. The only addendum is that he chose not to live with his family. So
advise
people, yeah, this is really, really horrible. You know, I mean, he's got housing. He has his wife and his two daughters. They've been separated all this time anyway. It's been difficult to have visits and everything else. He was restricted from all kinds of things, as you know. So if people should go to supporterickking.org, that's all one word, all lowercase, supporterickking.org, see what you can do to help. There is a donation for his release funds, which his family will need, you know, because they've incurred a lot of expenses in between all the legal stuff that has been going on. And I believe that he is also filing a habeas petition around this. So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, it just goes to show you, you know, some things just never end. You know, the persecution is constant. And so I just wanted people to be aware of that. That is a serious, serious, egregious thing, especially if, you know, they misrepresenting the arrest record of his wife as another way of saying, oh, well, you can't go there because she's, you know, whatever. We don't know because they don't say specifically. But anyway, those are several things that must be done. And I also wanted to announce an upcoming event. I know people have been following this Souls Journal webinar series for Dr. Mitchell Shakur. They have been tremendous. They'll be doing one, the third one, this Thursday, March 16th, 7 p.m. our time, 4 p.m. Pacific time, and they are going to feature students of Dr. Mitchell Shakur and revolutionary healers and health workers, and it is moderated by Dr. Asantewa Sunni Ali, who I believe is Bilal Sunni Ali's daughter, if I'm not mistaken. And you can register for this by going to bit.ly, that's bit.ly/ Mitulu Soul Series 3. And the Mitulu Soul Series 3 is all one word, 3 is a number, but it's got a capital M, a capital and two capital S's, Mitulu Soul Series 3. So I would encourage people to do that. It's been really tremendous. The one they did last week about COINTELPRO was fantastic. And, you know, Dr. Mitulu Shakur, thank goodness, is back with us. And apparently, he's doing fairly well. I heard he will be speaking at a Dopey's Death screening on March 28th out in California. I don't have all the details of that one yet, but as soon as I do, I will post it. So this will also be up momentarily on JerichoNY.org. Encourage people to please be in touch about Eric, see what we can do to help. Certainly see what we can do to help Kasise. You know, she's been out there for her dad for years and years and years. And, you know, she really needs our support right now. So please go to that GoFundMe. Thank you so much.
This will be on the Jericho website. Thank you for the work that keeping us updated on that. And it is very important to understand that all of our people who are in the death camps for political activity or other activity, the activity of making a living, face these parole situations. And I know of a young man who was paroled and his girlfriend had a condo. But they kept him from living in the condo and sent him to a halfway house of ex-addicts. Of course, he came to Lynn Stewart, who straightened out the parole board and the, what would you call them, the prison, the death camp employees. And, of course, it was so ridiculous, they allowed him to live there. And so we need all kinds of support, political support, most of all economic support, legal support. And these are the things that we discuss on this program. Thank you so much for that, Ann. Sister Betty?
I believe Comrade Antonella has an update she wants to bring us. If she can do it quickly and loudly.
I thought I was going.
Go ahead, Antonella, and then we'll go to Brother Kazi.
Sure. Sorry, Kazi.
Sorry.
Just thought people should really follow, like, the Stop Cop City and Defend the Atlanta Forest Instagrams if you're on that. If not, Stop Cop City does have a website you can see, and there's actually an interactive map of all the entities that are harmful, that are funding Hop City, that are really good targets for protests, et cetera. Also quickly, the Atlanta Police Department just recently murdered a brother by the name of Osiris Bennett, and apparently they did so because he was smoking a blunt in the train station, which is, you know, I mean, I have no words. Like, it's just for breathing, you know. This is a genocide. So I want to uplift also this name and this long struggle for freedom. Go ahead, Kazi.
Well, Army of Occupation, that's what they do. But Stop Cop City website, we'll look it up and participate. Sister Betty.
Comrade Kazi and 7785, go.
Okay, sister. I just want to comment on something that Antonella was talking about, the growing numbers of, I mean, we don't want to see any more PPs and more political prisoners or prisoners of war, but I'm just afraid, you know, like people are, there's going to have to be more. You know, all these new political prisoners and younger people, you know, are getting to see, you know, lessons, you know, they're getting to learn lessons about the system. All of these jails have brown water in them. All of these jails are rotten. Everyone that the political prisoners are in are rotten. That's the way they treat us. And political PE 101, you got to know your enemy and know who your friends are, you know. And I'm afraid, you know, like in Palestine, you know, there's thousands of political prisoners, you know. I think it's going to have to be the same here before people, the masses of people understand, because they still want to have faith in this system, man. You know?
Yes, that's...
I mean, look at how busy they keep us running around, you know, trying to, you know, put out this fire and that fire and build,
yes.
You know, come on, man. You know, like, people got to, like, find the courage within ourselves. We've done everything with nothing. You know, let's leave this, break off from this United Snakes, you know?
No, you got it perfectly right. And we have to understand this devil that we live with and stop trying to be a part of it other than what we have to do. You have to have bread, housing, et cetera, but understand the system that you are working on to get that. Thank you for that, Kazi. Sister Betty.
7785, did you want to add to it?
I'll just take a quick minute to add to what Comrade Kazi was just saying. And by the way, Kazi just had a Earth Day, a birthday on the 11th of this month. And
we want to
hail him up for that. But it is true, you know, as we stand up and confront this system, necessarily confronted, Cop City is a perfect example. What's going to happen there is more people are going to get captured, arrested, beat, you know, murdered, whatever. But allow that repression, that horrible, actually illegal, although within their own legal system it's considered okay for cops to do all those things. But we can't let that intimidate us or stop us from continuing to push that effort. So at the same time, while we need to step up the support of the people that are captured, like Kazi was saying, some might unfortunately become this new generation of political prisoners, we need to step up and support them. But at the same time, we need to fill those shoes that they, you know, are in, we're in. And so the effort itself against Cop City, and this goes across the board to any struggle, more of us have to step forward and be willing to, like, stand up and say no to whatever the issue is, in this case, Cop City, and destroying that land and building this, you know, new modern police fascist kind of institution that's going to do nothing but harm and kill people, you know, not only next week but for years to come if it gets built. So it has to be stopped, and the land has to be protected and preserved. We have to step up you know, people generally, you know, young people, older people, whoever, all of us have to step forward and continue that effort to stop it. And at the same time, we have to redouble our effort to support those people that have been captured already. And, you know, I'm not saying anything new, but we have to keep that in mind. And when we support them, it has to be in many ways. Ultimately, you know, step forward and, you know, stand up. But also, you know, whatever it might be, you know, supporting legal efforts, sending monetary support, and so forth. And
with true words spoken, and yes, we have to redouble our efforts in every way, because this monster isn't going to just go away. And if you look at the history of this America, you will know that this monster does not go away easily. So every way that we can see to hurt it, we must use it. Thank you so much for that. Sister Betty.
Well, I just want to remind people that there's a lot of ways you can fight. We can't all always march, and we can't all, you know, send a lot of money. But many of us are connected to other people who need enlightenment. If you're in any kind of religious organization, don't let them hide. Speak to them. Send them the websites. Ask them for money. They got it. Do something about it. That's all we're saying. Do what you can do. And if everybody does that, we will win. We're going to go now to our special program guest, and we want to thank Brother Henry Higgins. He made this happen, and we are so honored and grateful to him, and to have him as part of our program because he did this for us. Sister Julia Wright, your mic is open. We hope we have a good connection.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Wow. Thank you. Okay. So this is the news that happens on March 11th in Germantown at the First United Methodist Church for Mumia. The event was called Bearing Witness in the Case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. The speakers were Reverend Judge Wendell Griffin, Cornell West, Mark Lamont Hill, Lynn Washington, Joanna Fernandez, and Dr. Michael Schiffman from Germany, who introduced the testimony of Pedro Polakoff, who was, if you remember, the independent crime scene photographer whose photos totally deconstructed the police narrative. Now, the news, I think that there's even better news. The previous Wednesday, our newly formed group that we've called the Mumia United Nations Liaison Committee did a teach-in with 22 members of the black clergy in Philly. And this is a little miracle, because the black clergy in Philly would not touch the case. And they are now beginning to speak about it. And they
right
were
on
at the church. They were at the church. I just want to finish by saying that the context of the ruling of Judge Clemens, she will rule on March 16th in a few hours. The context is extremely in our favor, because the Red Dogs and the Scorpions have been exposed. So, who arrived on the scene on the 9th of December, 1981? The unit, the police unit of Frank Rizzo was one of those units, one of those animal units. So it's going to be very interesting having, there have been two investigations in the police departments of Louise, where Breonna Taylor was murdered, and another police department in Memphis has been investigated, and it has been announced that other police departments will be investigated. So these special units are now under focus because of the loss of Tyree Nichols. So what we are saying loud and clear is the unit that was on the scene on that day was no different than the unit that murdered Tyree Nichols.
Well, thank you for that. And that gives us hope one more time. And I'm encouraging people to check the Jericho website and find out where we can be and what we can do to forward these revelations that Sister Julia Wright has just offered us. So thank you again. And on the move, what's the call? Free them all.
And next week, we're hoping you could be able to return and perhaps recite a poem, because she is quite a poet in her own right. She and Professor Louie were on our WBAI program, and I believe April is Poetry Month, National Poetry Month, if I'm not mistaken, and we're hoping to have them repeat that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We do appreciate you. We want to go right away to another comrade who's been a warrior on so many fronts, but especially the health front, especially the education front, especially the anti-army of terrorists front. Comrade Lisa Davis, your mic is open. And Brother Joel, hang in there.
Uhuru, and thank you so much for that awesome introduction. I thought you were talking about yourself for a moment, because the exact same thing can be said about you and many of our comrades. I know you don't have a lot of time, and there's so much left to say. I just wanted to just touch on two things real quickly. The Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations, we are having a general membership meeting in which people, you know, Black people who are interested in our work, they can participate in that membership meeting if they'd like to see and check us out. And that's going to be Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. People can go to www.blackisbackcoalition.org. Again, that's www.blackisbackcoalition.org. I'm about to post something to the website. I just also want to give a brief announcement about another front that the FBI and the scurrilous government under Joe Biden is kicking up a notch pertaining to the Amalia Shetela and the African People's Socialist Party. And Amalia Shetela is also the chair of the Black is Back Coalition. But Regions Bank, they're hitting them hard economically. They have done nothing. They have been completely bogus charges or bogus allegations launched against the African People's Socialist Party. But now they've been working on the Black Power Blueprint, where they have, you know, various economic institutions that they've been building up in the community, including like their Uhuru Kitchen and Pies, where they make money, make pies and everything for the community, and they sell them to raise money. They've got housing projects that they're working on, healthcare projects that they're working on. Well, Regions Bank has abruptly told them that they're terminating their relationship with them, including terminating the mortgage of, from the building that they have. Yes, that's Regions Bank. And people, please go to handsoffuhuru.org. That's HANDSOFF Uhuru, UHURU.org. And I can, oh, I thought I had the number to Regions Bank at my fingertips, which I don't happen to have right
well,
now. But please
Comrade
go to
Piero is on. He may probably have that.
Yeah, he might have that. But I just wanted to announce that real quickly and thank you so much. I was listening very intently, so I'm going to get off so some other people can get on as well.
I just want people to know that Comrade Lisa is head of the health working group of the Black is Back Coalition, and she stays on top of the COVID statistics and all the other genocidal practices of this so-called health system. Once again, thank you, Comrade Lisa. We're going to move right along and open up the mic for Brother Joel and Comrade Theodore. Hang in there.
Your microphone is open. Joel.
Yes, hello. Well, it's
we hear you.
Informative and high-level discussion and placed in the context. I mean, we hear about all this repression going on and the fight back and everything else, what's going on in, you know, when you stop to think of it, that whole word, cop city, when you translate it into regular English, police state. That's what they're talking about, building a police state and having training centers, starting out with this one in Atlanta, all over the country to train these robot cops to be cracking down. And it's connected, now, as I said, the discussion was put in the framework of the whole financial crisis that's taking place. And the two things are very closely connected because the system is falling apart, and the people's power is going to be drawn into the vacuum and is going to take the place of this awful system that is driving people into dust and always has. It's always been one form of slavery after another, and now the time has come for the enslaved people, the overwhelming majority, to begin taking over and taking power. And this show, I think, is a very important organizing mechanism to make people more conscious of what's going on and to remind people about the political prisoners who are still in prison to try to prevent the worsening of the system and the crisis that's developing now. I want to also follow up on what Ralph said, that as these banks are collapsing, one of the schemes that they have to shore up their financial system now is what they call digital money, in which people won't be allowed to have cash anymore. People are going to be forced into carrying credit cards, and you know what that means. And those are possibly still going to be bank credit cards for a while, but also government credit cards. But it creates a gigantic electronic system where every amount of money that you spent can be tracked. And the pilot project, I believe, is supposed to be finished this month in Sweden. That's the experiment for it. It's being done. It's already been signed into law by those Democrats called the Biden administration. And it's a total takeover of whatever little wealth you might still have, especially if it's in the form of money, into the hands of this gigantic coordinated electronic cyber bank mechanism, which is a worldwide thing. And at the same time, what we're getting as a replacement are these cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, which also had a crisis the other a few weeks ago with the collapse of their one of their central exchanges called the FTW. And what they're doing really is so that'll be for the private transactions that the rich don't want other people to know about and can't be tracked. So that's what's coming in. And of course, we need to build up the resistance to Cop City, to the police state, or as Ralph has pointed out again and again, it's not a police state really, it's a stormtrooper state that we're that they're trying to build, but it's because of their weakness and desperation and because of the strength that the people have more than ever with everything taken away, all the social bribes being taken away, the standard of living going down, everybody feeling sold out and betrayed by the system. This means that something is going to fill that vacuum. And but we can't just say that, like, you know, make a passive prediction or something like that, like in that phrase, a better world is possible, and we are the ones who can make it so. And we are the people that we've been waiting for, and I'm using it not just about the people on the show who play a magnificent role and spread magnificent consciousness, but also the people who are not yet awakened, but are going to be awakened as they get those kicks from the system and less and less of the promises. Like, I noticed that right away the contradictions of Janet Yellen, I think in an appeal to people that are angry at the banks, she said there will be no bailouts this time. And within an hour, you had Biden out there, there's nothing to worry about. Everybody is going to get bailed out. But they're talking about people with accounts greater than $250,000, while the overwhelming majority of people in this country don't even have $400 in the bank to cover their emergencies and expense spikes. So, but we have to really get organized. There's no substitution for that. And it's not, we can't just be telling each other how bad things are. We have to be up there with the solution. And even a lot of people today who have been moved in a rightward direction, we're the ones that have the solution, and that is the new system. And those people that are being pulled in that way are being misled by their own ignorance and by their own brainwashing over the years. And but a lot of them will see it our way once we explain that solution and really get out there. And a lot of that is going to peel away, and people are going to come together. And it's not just in the United States, but around the world. This is happening in every part of the world now, that people are becoming more and more conscious and more ready to organize, because what people are doing is saving their own lives and saving the worthiness of their lives. So I just want to urge people to keep up the level of consciousness, keep spreading it, and organize, organize, organize.
Well, thank you so much for that, Joel. That's what we must do. And people will learn, as Marcus Garvey told us, if I can't teach you, circumstances will. And we see the circumstances that are happening today. And the big one in New York is health care and the betrayal of people who have been paying into their health care system are now seeing it taken away. And let us go to Chicago. 0380, your microphone is open. What's happening in Chicago?
Joseph Peary, your mic is open. Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I don't know if you guys have been hearing, there's a lot going on here. I'm going to try and maybe just talk about one thing. It's just too many things. I got to cherry pick which one. Kind of give you a little bit of a history to what's occurred. Start out by saying, for those who don't know, I'm involved with the Illinois Union of the Homeless, one of the organizers. And one of the issues that we got here that's really huge is people are literally dying on the streets. We've gone to three funerals since Christmas of some of our members who have died. We've had various numbers of our organizers who have died in the streets. So this is the situation that we face. So what I'll talk about then is that we had a chance to get an initiative, measure passed in the city council to divert money from the rich on real estate transactions that were taking place in order to use that money to house homeless, anything over $1 million. And there's quite a few of those transactions that take place. So they fought us tooth and nail. Now, you guys are aware that the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, just lost the election. One of the reasons she lost the election is because she, it's rarely talked about, because she had promised she was going to do all these things for the homeless, and she hasn't done a damn thing. We've had money come in here by the millions from the federal government that was earmarked to help the homeless, that was going to, house the homeless. And she diverted that money the first time to the police department, the second time to the banks, and now there's the third time, which is right now, the money is coming to Chicago, and there's a big fight going on about it. But kind of give you an example of what took place. We, in order to get this measure passed, we needed to have 25, there's 50 aldermen on the city council. We needed to get 25 plus one. I think we were up somewhere around 19 or 20. And we were beginning to convince some of the other folks. And the other thing that we did is we joined into the, as a union, we joined into the aldermanic races that were taking place, and we were able to win quite a few folks over to our side to at least neutralize them, that they wouldn't be so bad. Well, so we had a meeting set up with the city council that was going to take place, and the mayor literally called around to enough of them, told them don't come to the city council meeting so that there wouldn't be a quorum, so that they wouldn't have to address this issue. And it got publicized. So this is like one thing among a lot of other things that she did that kind of was the nail in her coffin politically. This is what brought her down. So I'm not sure right now what the situation is with the city council and this measure, other than that they're not addressing it. And that we just had this election I'm telling you about. So a number of regular people on the street, just like myself, who actually got up and decided we're going to run. And they ran for alderman. Quite a few lost, but quite a few won. And one of the main ones that we had supported actually won by a landslide. And so what we're looking to do is start right now. Organizing, and kind of let you know this is what we did in between when we started this kind of campaign, was in any of the aldermen that were given the homeless problems, we just go sock it to them. We just get out there and protest and put them on blast, get on the radio, TV, and everywhere else we could. I'll give you an example. Maybe about 6 weeks ago, just before the election took place, one of the aldermen had sent the street and sanitation workers over, and this is on the coldest day of the year, to try and remove homeless that were living underneath a viaduct. And so it just so happened one of our members had found out this was happening and contacted us, and we were able to set up a press conference right out in front of the place. And then all these folks I'm telling you about who were running, including Brandon, who's running for mayor, Brandon Johnson running for mayor here in Chicago, we're supporting him. And it looks like he's not doing real well against Paul Vallas. Paul Vallas is really just a MAGA guy. He's like the worst of the worst, but he's masquerading like he's not, in order to try and get the votes. But anyway, so we had quite a few of the folks who were running at the time show up. We did a press conference out in front, pointed out it's illegal. You can't do that. You can't just come in here and tell people they got to get out on the coldest day of the year. What the hell do you want them to do, freeze to death on the street? Which already we had our people freezing to death on the street. So as a result of us doing that, they had to back off. So these are the things that we have to face with here. It's ongoing. It's going to keep going. Even though this election, which has just took place, a number of the folks who had lost, what's beauty, the beauty in it is that now they're starting now to prepare for the next election, to organize now for the next election, and we intend to be in the street. One of the things we're kicking around, we're going to have to organize it, but everybody is saying we need to just go down to City Hall and pitch tents all up at City Hall and have the homeless come down and occupy City Hall. So this is one of the things possibly we're going to be doing in the next period of time. Anyway, so I'll leave it at that. I don't want to take up all your time. And it's just a smidgen of what's going on, a fraction of what's happening.
Well, thank you, Joe Peery. I did not introduce you because I felt most of the people on this program are familiar with you and your family, a long history of activists and a long history of actions that must be taken. And as he said, this is not only happening in Chicago. It's happening in New York. We have a gentleman who running for the city council, running for head of the city council, and he says, vote for a black city councilman. And as quiet as it's kept, we've had a majority of blacks in the city council for at least 10 years, but it doesn't mean anything because all that say they are black are not. We want progressive people, never mind their color, and their progressiveness has to be reflected in what they stand for. And so this is, it's happening, as you say, Joe Peery, all over, getting people to do what they say they are going to do. And this is why I say a political slavery, we practice it all of the time. We elect those that they select for us to elect, and it is wonderful. I hope that people are listening. Start now, understanding that those who we elect without demanding action, demanding policies that we need, like housing, et cetera, end the army of occupation terrorism. Thank you for that, Joe. Hope you'll come back again soon.
Joe, we're hoping that, excuse me, Brother Ralph, for coming, cutting across you. We're hoping you will join, even if it's by Zoom, the Black is Back Coalition on their election
campaign
strategy training session. You can give people points. The strategy that you are talking about, that mayor tried to use, and I do believe she be black.
Yeah, well, yes.
I think it was either Goebbels. I think it was Goebbels used that in the German Reichstag to make sure no effective policies could get through. And this is what has been happening in every single one of our congressional
districts.
So we definitely hope that you will join us. Sister Lisa, would you give him the dates?
Oh, am I still on?
Yes. Give Brother
Theory of Chicago the date of the Black Coalition election conference.
And I will text
April
it in
8th and 9th.
Brother Theory.
Right. The date of the Black is Back Electoral Campaign School is April 8th and 9th. Although the weekend of April 7th, 8th, and 9th, but April 8th and 9th are on a Saturday. Saturday and Sunday.
We're hoping that Joe Peery can call in and teach us about what he's doing in Chicago. Very important.
Even just a 15-minute presentation like you did for us would be extremely effective, Comrade Peery.
Okay. Well, thank
think
you.
About it. Chairman Yeshitella.
Thanks again,
all right.
Sister Betty.
All right, so we're going to move on. Brother Higgins, thank you for your patience. We've got a few people still hanging in there who have a lot to say, so we want everybody to be aware of that. We've extended the time, but we want to get everybody in. Brother Higgins, thanks again for connecting us with Comrade Julia Wright, the daughter of
my pleasure,
author. Your mic is open.
My pleasure, Sister Betty. I want to share with our audience, and Brother Ralph, I want to share with our audience four books that I consider to have merit and will increase our understanding of capitalism and imperialism. The first one is called Imperialism, The Highest Stage of Capitalism by Lenin. The second one is called The Roots of War, by Richard J. Barnett. It's dated, but it analyzes in minute detail the war industry that impacts this society every day, 24/7. Another book that
again,
I like to
roots
share. The Roots of War by Richard J. Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
The third book I like to share with the audience is called The Bolsheviks and War by Sam Marcy. It's dated, but it also has tremendous information that is invaluable to understanding why the Bolsheviks turned against the war led by Lenin and how this impacted the ending of World War One. Of course, there was the extension carried forward with World War Two. And then finally, the book that I like to share with folks is called War is a Racket by General Smedley D. Butler. And that's an important book because he talked about the fact that he was a gangster of capitalism, and as he realized what was happening, denounced his years of service for imperialism. And then finally, I like to share a poem entitled The Four Horsemen, also known as MAINE, which stands for militarism, the alliance system, imperialism, and nationalism. And here goes. They led the planet into great wars 1 and 2, and since then, all those in between, militarism, alliances, imperialism, and nationalism combined continues to endanger the world. And the United States foolishly leads the NATO pact. Lenin carefully explained why. And that's it.
Okie dokie, and thank you so much for that, because we are in trouble, my brothers and sisters. We are on the path to another war that will be the end of everything. I think early on in this program I said I'd like to learn to speak insect, because that's going to be the only thing left after this, because it's, and to suggest to them how they can avoid doing what we the people have allowed to be done who are participating in it. And so thank you so much for that, Henry Higgins. Sister Betty.
All right, Comrade Fierro, your mic is open. We've been waiting for you. Your mic is open.
Uhuru, uhuru, one and all. I want to give everyone that's been on, Sister Wright, Brother Kazi, Sister Ann Lamb, Sister Lisa Davis, who really encapsulated what was going on with the chairman and the party of co-conspirators. Unindicted at this point, but indictments are imminent, and it is escalating. I want to, first of all, give everybody the Regions Bank information. And this is in St. Louis. And by the way, Regions Bank has in its employee an FBI agent, just to let you know that this is a very serious matter. Anytime you want to tear down a strong community-based party organization of African internationalism, you do go after the assets. You do go after the, you flash bang grenades, you battering ram doors, you threaten with targeting people at the heart with laser beams on rifles. This is what happens. And this is what we expect. I would say that all of us are proud co-conspirators that are on this air right now, but we must unite. First, I'm going to give you this number. This is to Regions Bank. Regions number is 314 in St. Louis, 314-230-7020. That's 314-230-7020. We demand that they not take our finances. We demand that they not hold the deed. Now, nothing's been done wrong. The party's done nothing that has been illegal. Everything's been above board. But when they see you trying to, or not attempting to, but actually growing and nourishing your people, your own people, and growing in freedom, teaching people the way to freedom, because we're on liberators. We are our own liberators. Nobody will do for us what we need to do for ourselves. Right now, just in Mississippi alone, they just decapitated a young brother, 25 years old. Caught him alone. Decapitated him in December of 2022. The family could get no answers when a young man went to the police saying that three trucks of white men were following him. They did nothing. We are our own liberators. These are the things that we're up against. Then let's talk about police reform. There will be none. They give us all these niceties. You talk about the time. You talk about Democrats or Republicans. Joe Biden just announced he's going to allow another pipeline, oil pipeline, in Alaska. A hypocrite. A liar. A fascist, as you would call it. A colonizer. And then when you have us sitting in these particular positions of politicians as if we've arrived, we're only tools that are used. We can only make a decision to help the colonial mode of production, like Eric Mays, a silly, sold-out, worn-out, prune-looking man who is doing damage to his own people, like a Wilson Good that bombed his own people. This is what we're talking about. So when you talk about freedom, when you talk about African internationalism and doing for yourself and for your own kind, these are the outcomes. Right now, we're going to have to band together. Folks, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't care what side you think you're on. We're all prey. They pick us off one at a time. They'll come and get you. And when you think it ain't going to happen to you, just look at even poor whites catching hell today. But got so confused that they think that I'm your enemy. Make you think that I'm the enemy. I have no control over any. I don't control the media. We don't control any of these airways. They mess with us all the time, as we all will acknowledge. But it is up to us to take our positions and stances. It is up to us to, as you stated, Brother Kazi, educate our youth to stand strong but stand together. Can't do this alone. We cannot do anything alone. We weren't made that way. We were kidnapped and brought here. I'm very incensed about that. How can you then tell me that I'm some citizen to use some law that you create to help put me incarcerated and then fill all of us up, 64% of the population, in any penitentiary, and then tell me I made choices? You made the choice. You brought the dope in the community, CIA, FBI. You murdered our leaders, Marcus Garvey. You murdered Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. Then want to point the finger at Russia when you just is you're more than any other criminal on the planet because you take everything at gunpoint and you think everybody's blind, but everybody's telling you no now. It's a new day. The world is evolving and changing, and we're right there with it. We are winning. Again, it's hands off of Uhuru. I'm going to give you that number one more time. Please call the bank. It's called Regions Bank, 314-230-7020. And I'll tell you what, we say all power to the people. We mean all power to the people because this thing has got to die. Democracy is falling apart by its own hands. Even infighting is going on. If we don't take and capture this moment, they will kill us as they go out. Believe that. That's you or me. Whatever group you're in, they'll take you down and take me out as well. Uhuru.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for that. And Sister Betty?
We want to open up the mics of our political prisoner supporters. Either one of you wants to give a number that people can contact to support Cop City, would you please do so? If you know of any upcoming nationwide protests or a GoFundMe place that they can go to, please say so now. Kazi, your mic is open. Sister Ann, your mic is open.
Okay. And while we're thinking of that, I say go to the Jericho website and get that information. But we will conclude with the perilous position we are in today because there are people in Washington, people who have make a power to make decisions, who are gambling that Russia and China will not fight. They have forgotten, or they don't want to know, that the Chinese have supersonic or hypersonic weapons. North Korea has hypersonic weapons. The Russians, although they do not have hypersonic weapons, they have a weapon system from space. They can fight back. And we in America must be courageous, say whose side we are on in this struggle that is taking place in Ukraine. I, for one, am on the side of Russia. I, for one, am on the side of China. And people say, well, do you think the Chinese are working in Africa for the Africans? The answer is no. All they did was offer a better deal in Africa for the Africans. And it's easy to do. They offer a better deal than the Americans. With that said, we have to end our program this evening.
Tomorrow, WBAI.
And tomorrow night, WBAI 99.5 at 8 p.m. Please call in, because we're going to continue our struggle to educate, to join, to have people join us on these very important issues of today. Tomorrow we're having part two of why we do not have enough doctors. My brothers and sisters, thank you so much for participating. See you tomorrow night and next week. Things that I should say, say them loud.